Karen Webster for payments.com, and I'm here today with Matt Barr, who is Senior Vice President of Emerging Payments for MasterCard in the U.S. Matt, thanks for joining me today.
Karen, great to be here.
So we're here today to get caught up on MasterPass and the plans that you have to expand it around the world. But before we get into that specifically, let's level set. Remind us, give us the state of the state with respect to MasterPass, and let's talk about in-store payment day, number of locations, countries, and so forth. Tell us the scoop.
So I guess a clarification with MasterPass versus in-store. MasterPass enabling in-store, we talk about at a normal point of sale in a physical store, is a service which is we'll be bringing to market later this year. That's really a roadmap element for us as we talk about convergence and the ability for payments to be made across any channel. MasterPass today, just so we're clear, supports online browsers and also in application. So it's an online and in-app payment service today. Really looking to just really simplify and streamline that checkout so that consumers don't have to type the details every time.
And that certainly eliminates a lot of friction. So where is that available today?
So today, MasterPass is live and transacting in 16 countries. So we've certainly taken a view that digital commerce is global and the MasterPass platform is globally interoperable, and hence the importance of standing up in multiple countries. So there's a very good footprint. Obviously, I'll give you a couple of names just so that the audience is familiar. So obviously in the US and Canada, across in Europe and UK, we know that's a big channel for cross-border purchases out of the US. And then through Europe, Poland, Czech Republic, France, and Romania down to Italy, where there's some great momentum, but also available in South Africa, UAE, Russia, and also China, where we know there's big cross-border opportunities for the US, merchants back into that big market, and then down through Asia, Singapore, Taiwan, Australia, New Zealand. So it's a global footprint, as I said, it's globally interoperable, which is critical for commerce.
Sure. So 2015, 16 countries expanding to how many?
I'm not sure we'll communicate a specific number, but certainly there are some big countries that are really important for MasterCard globally, which will be coming on board this year. But in terms of commerce coverage and MasterCard spend coverage, you know, we've got by far the majority of MasterCard volume covered through those countries. So that's been the priority. I think what you'll find in the next couple of years is it becomes not so much about expanding into more countries, but getting more volume and more transactions in those existing countries. So that's certainly what a lot of our internal discussions are about at the moment.
So let's talk a little bit about MasterPass and Apple Pay. And I think, you know, the strategy to really eliminate friction in an online and in-app situation is really sound, because that is where there's a tremendous amount of friction today. And I know that MasterCard is obviously a strong supporter of Apple Pay and has a commitment to getting that adopted throughout the issuer and merchant community. How does MasterPass and Apple Pay complement each other?
I think it's definitely a complement, and it's both in terms of, as you're saying, eliminating friction, but also the imperative we all have to secure all channels. And obviously, major features of the Apple Pay, which in the large part is visible to consumers, but it's around the tokenization, so that the consumer's 16-digit card number is not presented through to the merchant in the transaction. And that capability will also be brought through to digital payments via an app and also online through integration of our MDES platform with MasterPass. So starts that really important journey towards securing all channels and leveraging tokenization to do that. So there's absolutely a complement then between the ability to get scale and momentum on top of that MDES platform with Apple as the first customer. So that's an absolute complement in strategy. The other, complement between MasterPass and Apple Pay is Apple Pay is obviously an iOS-only service. It operates through the NFC antenna on the iPhone, but also in-app. But Apple Pay doesn't address commerce happening on the Android operating system, but also through browser, which is where the bulk of online payments are made today. So MasterPass then is you know, sort of helping to complement and make sure that we're servicing across all operating systems and all channels. And that's really important, obviously, as we look to secure commerce.
Would you consider MasterPass and Apple Pay competitors as well?
I mean, there is definitely going to be overlap in terms of merchants that use the iOS platform, and there is a choice there for using Apple Pay or for using MasterPass for streamlining their checkout experience. So in that sense, there is an overlap, but the same, there's a big market out there beyond the iOS platform, and certainly in many other countries where the iOS platform isn't as penetrated, there's big opportunities. So obviously we're looking at this globally. What we've done with Apple Pay is a fantastic start to how we start securing all channels. So I think there's definitely room in the market for both, and it definitely complements through the promotion of token and tokenization across all channels. So there's a nice little tension in there, but there's definitely room for both.
Gotcha. What are some of the things you've learned as you've observed the market for mobile payments in the countries in which MasterPass is active and consumers are using it? It's certainly new in many respects, this mobile payments experience for consumers, but one in-app and online that certainly provides value for consumers. What are some of the things and key insights that you can share with us that you've picked up along your journey?
Yeah, I was thinking one of my learnings is that this is, and RJ used these words in Friday's briefing actually, which is this is a slow burn game. When you're, and I know we've had that conversation before, and when it comes to payments, the trust is critical to any of these services becoming adopted, becoming business as usual. So having a really good customer experience is really important. Making sure it's secure, which really is in the background from that experience, but you know, really important for long run success in any of these payment services. And then there's need to obviously build out merchant acceptance, because if you don't have merchant acceptance, then consumers that adopt it aren't able to use it. Therefore, there's limited value as well, regardless of how good your customer experience is and your security. So you've got this tension as you build out and start scaling it. But if you get that customer experience right, I think we've seen many examples where these services have really taken off when the acceptance gets to a point to really ignite. You know, we're taking a very long-term view of this. Certainly the investments made by our competitors and other players in the space all help to increase the awareness that there are these services out there. They are very secure. It is a better experience, and we'll see adoption in the long run. So, you know, we're confident that we've got a really good service to offer, and, you know, we will increasingly be out there building awareness and understanding of it, working with our partners, and expect that to pick up over time.
Can you help us understand a little bit about some of the technology visions and enhancements that you're planning around MasterPass as you think about its journey over the next 12 months or so, and how that fits with your overall mobile payment strategy? Maybe talking a little bit more about tokenization as well?
Certainly. Yeah, in the end, where we're trying to get to is a very simple place, and it has to be a very simple place, otherwise consumers and merchants won't adopt it. We want to get to a place where consumers can simply click or touch or tap to make a payment. And it's all through the same application, and in our vision, that application actually comes from that consumer's main bank, and it's actually an integrated component of services they get from their main bank. So we're not going to be asking consumers to sign up for a new app and a standalone service, which everyone has to go and register for. Many of the services start in that place, but that's certainly not the long-run vision. And, you know, getting to that where it's just a service that's part of something I'm using anyway, it's an extension, an upgrade that enables me to simply make a payment through a click, a touch, or a tap, we think is a terrific place, and a place where you'll see broad adoption. And over the next, through 15 into 16, bring those simple services to market finally. So we've certainly, if you look through 12, 13, 14, it's been this real kind of very firm split between card present, NFC in store, card not present online and an app. And as we look forward and with the arrival of tokenization, suddenly that distinction becomes quite dated. And so getting to a position where, quite simply through one digital wallet from your main bank, you can pay through any channel with the power of tokenization within it, we can both remove friction across all the channels and make them incredibly secure transactions. And I think especially in the US with the migration to EMV and the liability shift that's coming in October, securing digital channels does become a mission critical imperative for the industry to solve for. And, you know, and that's why we're bringing these capabilities to market now. It's the right time with some great experiences, and it's only going to increase in importance to help solve those. So there's a lot to come forward, but I think the point there, which is these removing these institutions across these channels and just really trying to take friction across and doing it through a very simple, compelling way is the end goal of many of the industry trying to solve.
I agree. It's it's something that's critically important and very much needed. But as with everything that sounds simple, it's often not very simple to do. How complicated is what you just described?
I had we're having a discussion this week in the headline for a slide I was going to be using as part of that discussion was creating very simple customer experiences with very complex technology. And so there's definitely truth that it's not trivial to do what we're doing, but hiding that complexity is really important. I think we've shared previously, there was about 2 years of work getting to the Apple Pay launch. Mm-hmm. And in the end, you don't get a mobile payment experience that's much simpler than Apple Pay. But that's a lot of work to get to a very simple place. So, no, this is definitely not trivial. Mm-hmm. I guess if it was trivial, we would have solved this many years ago. But I think where smart devices have evolved to, where online commerce has evolved to, the emergence of in-app as a payment, a use case that is quite new. It hasn't been around for that long. So that's starting to show some really strong growth. So suddenly you're starting to see all of these opportunities really kind of converging at the right time. And we think we've got some great technology. Yes, it's not a trivial technology, but we are bringing it to market through on behalf of service for a lot of our customers to try and make it easy for them to embrace and adopt and offer it to their customers. So, but agree, it is non-trivial, but we have to get to a very simple place in the end.
Well, Matt, it was great to get caught up on MasterPass, its current state, and what you're planning in 2015 and beyond. We look forward to getting back in touch and staying up to date as your plans evolve. Thanks very much.
Thanks so much, Karen. Great to be on the show.